Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Trey. So Trey, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I currently live in The Colony, Texas. I'm not from here, but it's where I'm living now. I am the founder and CEO of Dank Vodka, and we are the world's first terpene spirit brand. So I use terpenes, which are probably don't know what they are. You're like, what the hell are terpenes? They are just that oil zest and citrus fruits. So every time you zest a lemon or an orange, that oil zest is a terpene. So they're just natural organic compounds. They're in citrus fruits, but also in every single plant on the planet. Full of flavor, they're naturally sweet, and they're very healthy for us. So I don't have any kind of added sugars or byproducts, just a really good, clean vodka.
So how did you get the idea for this?
So I'm a longtime cannabis activist, more of a CBD guy these days, but I was watching a show back in 2016. It was called Bon Appetit on Viceland. So they bring these big five-star chefs from all across the country out to do cannabis style cooking. So I have a cat, and she loves it when I get on Zoom calls. That's the only time she likes to bother me. But I saw them using all kinds of different cannabis stuff, and I saw terpenes, and I had seen them on those pens that I used to smoke. And so I, you know, Googled what are terpenes. I didn't know what they were. I just, you know, I knew that they were in cannabis. And so I Googled terpene liquor, couldn't find any anywhere. And decided I would be the first to pioneer them into liquor. Since it's been well over definitely 50 plus 75 years or so since we've had a complete original brand in this industry. And so I said, man, there's a niche there, and let's run with it. I sat on the idea for about 3 years, though, and didn't do anything with it. Just knew I had a great idea. Finally, just sat down one day, got tired of one, getting fired from a lot of the bar jobs I had. I was told so many times that I was unemployable, but I just figured I'd step out and try to do something different. And wanted to stay in that industry because I'm a bartender by trade. Just wanted to branch out, do something different, work for myself, and stop trying to make somebody else's dreams come true and make my own come true.
Amazing. And actually, it was funny. We had a podcast guest on earlier. We had the same conversation where it's like all entrepreneurs, there are many that have a similar story. Like, you know, I've been fired from jobs. I definitely am not employable. And I'm like, you know what? I'm better off if I'm building something myself.
Oh, yeah. So, and this is the longest job I've ever had. I think the longest I lasted was about a year. And I bounced around, and then it went to 10 months, and then 8 months, and then 7, 6. And I'm like, okay, I see a pattern here happening. I'm not staying at a place longer than, you know, 3 or 4 months now. I should probably, and I was told by so many bar owners that fired me, that they said, man, we love you, dude. You just can't work here anymore. You know, you're unemployable. You're not meant for this. And I didn't know what it meant back then. I was just like, screw you, man. I made this bar. I trained all your bar staff. I did your cocktail menus. Like, I put SOPs in place here. But now I see, I wasn't meant to be working for them. You know, I was meant to be out doing my own thing and creating a name for myself.
That's awesome. So how did you go from, you had this idea, it took you 3 years to do it, but from taking this idea in your head to actually making it, right? So because I'm sure it probably took trial and error, testing. Like, what did that look like for you?
So really, it was when I buckled down to write the business plan. It was one of the bars that I worked for. His name's Steven Turner. We're both military brothers, and he gave me the business plan. He doubled my last paycheck, and then he was driving me to go see my daughter all the time after he fired me. But he said, if you don't do something within 3 years, then I have failed you. Said, you didn't fail me. Said, I have failed you because I saw something in you and I didn't, you know, take the proper action. But once I had the idea, I literally rewrote the business plan and just took out the Roots bar and put Dank Vodka. And I did that over and over. And then I went back and forth. And after my market research, started studying. And once I had the business plan in place, I was like, okay, well, now you got to do something with it. You can't just let it sit here. And so I started, I had my buddy from Austin come down and help me formulate a formula because he's more of a chemist, I would say, than I am. Guy grows mushrooms and all kinds of stuff, and he's really good at molecular science. And he came down and we formulated something that was not bad at all. But we took that to a distillery, and from there we went back and forth with about five different flavors, and took us about 6 months or so, and we got something that tasted good. And I said, okay, well, so we ran the first batch, the first sample batch we ran, and I tried it hot off the still. I mean, I don't like vodka at all. Wind back a little bit there. I can't stand vodka. I think it has that grainy odor to it and that ethanol-y taste that I don't like. And so that was where I said, you know, I said the stuff that I brought to him, I said, this is clean, but we have to clean it up. And I said, we need it to be to where it's like water. Let's take it back to the old school days where vodka was drank neater on the rocks, you know, because nobody these days, I don't think anybody has ever said warm vodka tastes good. And so I said, I want to have this vodka by itself, room temperature, hot even, but I want it to taste good. So we went back and forth with a few different distillation methods, and using different waters and heat temperatures, and came up with something that I literally tried it and I stopped and I go, what the fuck is this? And they go, that's your vodka. I said, no way, man. I said, there's no way. I said, this doesn't even taste like vodka. And he said, yeah, man. He said, that's what you wanted. And I said, I know. I said, I'm just in shock right now. That was about 3-4 months of just going back and forth of us trying different flavors and profiles. And then it took us about 6 months altogether to get everything out the door. And of course, I would get my whole life together and, you know, have a great business plan that nobody in the world had ever done. And have this awesome idea and brilliant idea, and then COVID hit. So this was May. I was supposed to launch in April of 2020. Well, that didn't happen because of COVID. And I thought everything was going to shit. You know, I thought I was going to lose my job, lose my business. I had horrible investors to begin with, and they almost ripped the company out from right underneath my feet during COVID. I'm an Army veteran and a bartender, right? I don't know anything about college. I don't know anything about not just college, but doing anything business related other than running a bar. So I knew nothing about contracts, to say the least. And it was very frightening getting going because I had to find people to pay these guys off in order to keep my business within 30 days. And so it was only $165,000. I saw everything that Tito's did and said I could do it better. So I wanted to be the smallest funded liquor brand ever hit the market. I wanted to create a world original brand, not just in, you know, some other brand copycat that somebody else had already done before somewhere else. I wanted to make something cleaner, and then I do collector's editions with my bottles. But the point of that is I had 165 grand to pay off, and I had a hard time finding 165 grand to begin with before COVID. Now we're in COVID times and nobody wants to put any money anywhere because they think the whole world is going, you know, the whole world is dying. Yeah, we've came a very long way from there and we're still trucking. I'm still, if you equate to what Tito's put into it to today's time, my marketing director did a little bit of math for me. And he said, you are still, he said, even though you've put 300 grand into it, he said, you are still the smallest funded brand to hit the market. If you equate Tito's to now, no, it's cool. I mean, I've seen other brands pop up and use terpenes since I've started this. If you Google terpenes and alcohol, they're talking about how that's the next big craze. You know, the big next big crave is terpenes and liquor. Well, shit, we already did that. You know, we're the first ones to do it. So it's going to be really cool to see where the industry goes over the next few years.
Sure. So like you mentioned marketing and getting the word out. So what does that look like? I mean, are you in a lot of liquor stores right now? Or are you selling it on your website? Like, what does that process look like for you?
Oh, man, that's so it took me. I started off just selling to bars and restaurants. which everyone and their mom will tell you that that's the wrong way to go. Knowing me, I'm going to do my own thing and you can't tell me jack. Now you can. I listen to a lot of my advisors and a lot of the industry professionals that are around me, but I knew exactly how I wanted this brand to go and I wanted it to be built in the bar industry. So it was tough getting going. I couldn't get anybody to pick it up. Not one person. Of course, it's still COVID. We're in lockdown. They're at 25% capacity. It took me about a year in order to get into a good amount of a handful of liquor stores to where we could start really turning some product in them. But I started off in the bar and restaurant industry. So I knew I wanted to build the brand in the bar and restaurant industry because the brand that I have is not just a vodka. My top selling cocktails are margaritas and mojitos, you know, and did really well in the bars. It's still doing well in the bars. And then I went into starting to focus on, hey, instead of moving bottles, let's move cases. Which is what we should have started doing, right? But I wanted it to get into the bar so people knew what it was and get my bartender friends pushing it. But we made it into Total Wine in February of last year. Yeah, so we've almost been in Total Wines for 2 years. I got into some spec stores here and there. I got in some goody-goody stores here and there, but Total Wine at the end of the day is, you know, they're the next big guys. You know, they're coming up, they're building new stores, they're expanding rapidly, and they just, it's like walking into a Walmart or walking into a Costco, right? Like you just feel more like you're getting more bang for your buck at Costco and Sam's than you are at a Walmart. And I'm not trying to say that Specs or Goody Goody or any independent stores compared to a Walmart, but it's in relative terms, it kind of is. So we got into Total Wines and I've been doing a lot of work with them over the past year and a half. And then about 4 months ago, they put me in all the rest of the stores, and I just had DFW. They put me in all the rest of the stores in Texas. And I'm like, hell yeah, right? I'm super excited. And then all of a sudden, I just get shit on the next day, and they say, hey, now you're in every store in Florida. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is like a blessing, right? Like, thank you, God. But at the same time, I'm sitting here shitting my pants because I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? This is just me, right? I'm the smallest funded brand out here. I don't have... Usually people have about, you know, six people doing my job and my jobs, I guess I should say. So I now have one mega state of Texas that I got to cover and another mega state of Florida that I have to cover. How the hell are we going to manage this? But where there's a will, there's a way, right? And I make very good relationships with a lot of our distributor reps and a lot of these store guys. So we're a part of the premium program with Total Wine, which I just got into recently because I upset the market in Austin so much that they got pissed off that so there's national brands, which is just a regular brand on the shelf. There's Spirits Direct and Premium Selects. I came in one day, it was 2 days. I moved 21 cases or so in 2 days. And the store manager came in that Monday and he was looking at the numbers and he met me. It's about a month after this. He met me and he said, dude, I really didn't want to like your brand. I didn't want to like you. And he said, you messed up my numbers really bad. He said, the reason you got turned on to Premium Direct was because you sold so many cases and it made my numbers look really bad to corporate. So he turned me on for Premium Direct, which means they can actually sell my product when I'm not there. So they can actually, if you're not, they can't suggest it really to people unless somebody's asking for that specifically. The Total Wine has just really been a huge blessing, and I'm just happy to be in there with those guys, man, because it's an awesome store to be in. But still working on expanding. I still want Specs, I still want Goody Goodies, right? Like there's more Specs than there are and Goody Goodies than there are Total Wines, even though they are expanding. But that's just one place I can go in and move cases, ridiculous amounts of cases.
So, what's the challenge you are facing right now in your business?
I mean, it's been the same challenge since day one, raising capital, right? So the guys that I have that are invested, they tell me, Trey, we didn't invest in the brand, we invested in you. And I said, the product always comes secondary. And so I've got a very good investment group of guys that are invested. And the biggest thing is raising, you know, large capital. I've taken on 100,000 dollar investments here and there since day one. But now we're going after this $500,000. You know, we need some millions to pump into this brand so that we can really expand it. I mean, most liquor brands start with $500,000 to $1 million just for their first 6 months or a year. Right. And so we haven't even put $500,000 into it in 3 years. And we're still hanging with the big guys, which is really cool. So that lets me know that, hey, once we put some money into this and we can compete with some of these bigger brands, we're going to blow this thing out of the water. You know, it takes, you know, 3 to 5 years of good, solid funding to get traction in this industry. Well, we've got 3 years. We've rebranded once, and we've only put a, you know, large influx, maybe about 150 grand in. And that's the largest influx we've had. Right. And so I'm still sitting here hanging out with these big boys, and they're all pumping hundreds of thousands. My buddy owns a brand, and he was telling me he puts $250,000 a month into marketing, advertising, tasting, social media ads, sales reps, all this stuff. And I'm like, damn, dude, that's what I've put in this in 3 years, and I'm still hanging in. Granted, you're moving about 8 times more than I am a month, but still, like, I'm holding up, and I have, you know, I'm still down here, but I'm not like down here, right? I'm above the norm, the not the average, but just, you know, the normal plane of, you know, where brands start at us. I'm above that. But he, you know, he'll tell me it's the same thing, man. It's all about capital. Get that capital in, and you can really move the marker. You can move that needle if you get the money. I got two big tunas on the line. One guy, and he's got a buddy that's going to come in and match his money. So I just talked with him about 45 minutes ago, and that's going to be huge. He was actually one of the guys I used to work for. I actually quit this job. It was one of the very few that I quit. Put my 2 weeks in, did everything right. But he's been watching me for 3 years. I've been trying to get him on board, and, you know, he's got some other brands that he was working on, and, you know, he's been seeing my social media, and he's like, man, how the hell are you doing this, dude? And he said, how are you getting so many bottles sold? How are you getting into so many total wines? How are you getting this? How? And I said, man, people like the story, and they like the juice, right? Like, people fall in love with the story, and same thing as an investor, right? They're going to invest in the person first, and then the product's going to come secondary. I fall in love with the story, and as long as they got a really good story behind it, then the juice, as long as the juice is good, it doesn't have to be perfect, but as long as juice is good, people fall in love with it. Granted, you know, lucky enough for me that I have a pretty decent backstory, and then I have a really, really good product. One that literally stands out from anything. But the biggest thing is just finding somebody to come in and, you know, give me that $1-2 million so that we can blow this thing out of the water.
Yeah, great. So, and these things lead to your margins, if your margins are good or not. So, would you be feel comfortable to let us know, like, what are the margins? Like, currently, what are your margins? Like, you can tell us in percentage.
Yeah, so we make about 50% margin, which is not bad. My most expensive thing is the terpenes. So I use about half a drop per bottle, and that's $4. Most alcohol, most vodka brands are getting made for, if they're using the same methods and the same stuff that we are, then they'd probably be around $3.50, $4 a bottle, right? Well, I use terpenes, so that doubles my bottle cost. It's the most expensive thing out of anything that I'd use. But we're still making, it's about 48% margin, so not bad at all. We could be making 80% if I took the terpenes out, but then we wouldn't have, you know, this world original brand. We wouldn't be the pioneers of something that nobody's ever done. Whereas most people just want to make a cheap vodka, and they want to make, like I said earlier, a copycat brand. I'm not about that. I'm here to, you know, give these big premium brands that are just branding a run for their money. So they're, you know, and I'm not going to throw names out there, but we all know the premium brands, right? And they're just branding. You know, you can do a lineup with all the rest of them, and they all taste exactly the same. And you can do them with Tito's, and they all taste exactly the same. So, you know, I wanted to disrupt the market a little bit, you know, and do something that had, like I said, had not been done, something that we can really scale.
For sure. So what is the role of technology in your business?
Explain that a little bit, or go elaborate on that a little bit. What is it?
Well, I mean, like, you know, do you sell products, like, do you sell your vodka on your website? Like, you know, in terms of even social media is technology, it's like, you know, I'm sure, you know, that even Zoom is technology, right? So it's like, how does technology, I guess, like, help your business? Like, is it, are you doing, you know, D2C e-commerce? Is that your plan? Like, what does that look like for you, I guess, more so?
So most of us, ours is B2C to B2C, B2B business. So I'm selling to these Specs and Total Wines. I can't necessarily sell to consumers directly. There's a Tier 3 Act that was in place long ago, and it has to go from distributor, distiller, or distiller, distributor, and then it can go to a retailer, a bar, and restaurant in some states. Like Texas is a control state, so we have Specs, and now it's Specs, it's taken over everything. But in Texas, it has to go from distiller, distributor, retailer, then it can go to a bar or a customer. In other states, it would go from distiller, like in Florida, it goes from distributor to anybody. It goes to a retailer or bar, I'm sorry. The only way that we can sell online, I'm sure you've seen lots of people that sell online, but they're using an online platform. So there's stuff out there like LibDiv or BarCart where you can order online and they ship it to your house. Those are they're not the easiest deals to work with. There's a lot of hoops you got to go through, and it's just a big pain, big, big pain. Does it help in the long run? Yeah. But so does putting that same effort and time into, you know, doing these total wine tastings and getting sales right off the bat. A lot of things that we do is I work with a incentive agency where I can fly people out, right? So they're like, hey, I live in North Carolina. We don't have your product here. Cool. Well, let me fly you out here. I can get you a round trip plane ticket and a hotel for two, you know, anywhere from 70% to 80%, 90% off. That's one way that I can work directly with consumers. But again, there's just so many different, a lot of work for me to do to have one person come out. Right now, other than that, we do a lot of social media ads. We post on social media every day. I'm very big on building that machine and posting in Facebook and Instagram at least once a day. Sometimes I'll post a couple times a day. Just to get that brand awareness out there. But, you know, as we know, awareness don't pay the bills. But it is some place for people to, like this guy that's investing, it's a place for people to watch us, you know, and see the story and see everything grow. And then finally be like, okay, I've been watching this guy for 3 years. I need to go buy a bottle. But most of our money is spent on tastings, you know, doing tastings inside of a liquor store. Having somebody out there, and, you know, it's known as liquid to lips, right? We're putting liquid to lips and we're getting people to try this stuff and so that they can buy it. You know, we can do sponsorships and I do charity work with a couple of different small groups out here. So I believe you have to give back in some way or another. I guess it's the Christian in me. But, you know, we try to stay away from the big sponsorships and stuff because a lot of that's just people wanting free booze. And we're just not at that point yet. There's nothing wrong with people that ask for sponsorships and people that do sponsorships. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, you know, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but it is we're not at that stage yet. We've done them in the past and just don't see huge results from it. If there's not a direct ROI attached to it, with us being so small, we can't do it. You know, we don't have those big marketing dollars yet. So eventually, years down the road, we'll be doing tons of sponsorships where, you know, it helps get that, you know, awareness out there. And that's where we really need more of that kind of awareness. But for now, it's just liquid to lips, baby.
So in terms of technology, you mentioned social media, posting every day. So does artificial intelligence play any role in that?
No, my marketing director does all the research. Like if you ever look at our business page, the Dank Vodka business page, you're going to see a lot of statistics, a lot of numbers. You're going to see a lot of, just very well thought out posts. And I've done AI, I've done ChatGPT stuff before, and I can strictly tell that this is stuff that he has done the research on. So I did it for a little bit, and like I'll do it every now and then. But now that he's got such great posts coming out, I just copy and paste his stuff and put it in there because he's done the research on it. So why not use that for my personal stuff and let it, you know, I'm 2-3 weeks behind it. So whatever he posted 2 weeks ago, I'm posting tomorrow. I let him literally take the reins on that because he's literally one of the best marketing directors. He's a fractional CMO, but he's one of the best that I've come across. And he was rated top five marketing directors by Yahoo Finance last year. So not just some random, you know, publication, like that's Yahoo Finance saying this guy's a badass. So he's really good at seeing what other brands are doing, but not copying them, but doing better.
We're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now. Where do you expect things to go for your business?
A year from now, so by this time, next O&D is October, November, December. We're almost there. But I'd say we'll be heavily influenced in the Florida market. I'll have at least one to two people that we'll hire on so that they can cover the Florida market. I'll have two people in the Texas market. We'll expand out into Louisiana. I'll be in Colorado. I should be able to get into California because I met the state manager of Cisco Brands out there, and they're very interested in having us. They just have a large MOQ, so we got to get this investment. And then I'd like to get out into New York and possibly Kentucky and Tennessee. So, and I got connections to all those places. It's just a factor of, you know, we're talking about going into that many states. We're going to need, you know, more than just 1 million. We're going to need 3 to 4 million to do that. But I think once we get this, you know, 1 million in here very soon, then that'll open the doors for some of these other bigger guys that are like, okay, you know, somebody's already put this much money in, we can get behind that. Plan is to have at least an investment of about $3 to $4 million next year. And I want to hire a whole team. I want to stop doing everything that I'm doing and, you know, delegate that to other people. So I work way too much. I have to literally call people and or text them and be like, shit, I'm so sorry. I know it's Sunday. I just don't give up ever. Like, so where I can hire some people to take off some of this load from my shoulders so that I can kind of oversee everything rather than do everything. And now I'm not saying I don't want to stop doing the work. I love this, man. I'll be out in the stores as much as I possibly can, but my guys are telling me I'm doing too much. And so in reverse, I'm telling them, well, y'all got to give me some money, guys. but yeah, I'll be in some other states next year. I'm shooting for an extra 3. Really, it would be, I don't know about California, but it'll definitely be Colorado. I'll definitely get into either Kentucky or Tennessee, and then hopefully New York.
Sure. So do you mind sharing your website and social media handles if somebody wanted to find your brand?
Yeah. So website's just Dank Spirits, dankspirits.com. And the reason it is different than everything else is because I will be bringing on other spirits into the portfolio here soon. So the whole brand itself is Dank Spirits. And then everything else for social media is just Dank Vodka. So Instagram, Facebook, I think we got a Twitter. I don't personally have TikTok on my phone, but I know we have a TikTok out there somewhere. But everything is Dank Vodka besides the website.
So, well, Trey, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you can raise money as you guys keep growing and scaling your business.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on here, man. It was an honor. And yeah, let's see next year, man. Let's do it again.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Cheers.